In the Night, a musical mystery story starring the internationally famous stage, screen, and supper club star, Carl Brisson.
For I bring a little white gardenia, as refreshing as a day in May. You may wear it if you care, or toss it away.
Tonight you have a ringside table at the newest nightclub in town, the Golden Oriole. The lights are low, the music's soft. The audience hushes as into the spotlight steps the proprietor, a debonair gentleman whose forte is melody and mysterious adventure, played by that great entertainer, Carl Brisson.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Well, thank you. Well, you all know here at the Golden Oriole, we always start with a request number. So, what would you like me to sing tonight?
Mission of the Rose.
Mission of the Rose.
The scale number.
The scale number. Oh, you mean all of a sudden my heart sings.
Yes.
All of a sudden my heart sings.
All right. But first, let me sing the original scale number, which I sang in England all way back in 1930. But it goes like this. I know a little pussy. Her coat is silver gray. She lives down in the meadow. She'd never run away. She'll always be a pussy. She'll never be a cat. For she's a pussy willow. Now, what do you think of that? The meow, 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 meow. Well, then when I made my debut in the supper clubs here, I introduced for the first time in America the American version, which became so popular. All of a sudden my heart sings when I remember little things. The way you look and hold me tight, the way you kiss and say goodnight, the crazy things you say and do, the fun it is to be with you, the magic thrill that's in your touch. Oh, darling, I love you so, so much. The secret way you press my hand to let me know you understand. Wind and rain upon your face, the breathless world of your embrace, your little laugh and half surprise, the starlight gleaming in your eyes, remembering all those little things. All of a sudden, my heart sings. Thank you, everybody. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your chance to dance yourself to heaven. Mr. Music Man, heavenly music, please. Say, Charles, has Miss Tony Wells arrived yet?
Yes, Mr. Brisson, she just came in. Table 26.
Thank you, Charles.
Oh, good evening, Carl.
Oh, good evening, Tony. Oh, Tony, I don't know what I like better, the newspaper column you write or the hat you're wearing.
Oh,
it's beautiful. It looks so... It looks like a crash landing.
Crash landing? Really, Carl, sometimes I think
you... No, you're never more beautiful than when you're angry, Tony. I like the way that pert nose of yours goes up in the air and the way your eyes flash.
Well, don't stop, Carl. What else do you like about me?
Well, I like that gown you're wearing. It's just the right color for...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tony, that necklace. Where did you get it?
Oh, I designed it myself. Do you like it, Carl?
Do I like it? You know, it was a necklace like that that once cost two men their lives and was almost the end of me.
Well, knowing you, I'll bet that someplace in the picture a beautiful woman was involved.
Strangely enough, there was a woman in the case.
You're on next, Mr. Brisson.
Thank you. Duty calls, Tony. Just one number, and I'll be back to tell you the whole story. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Well, isn't it lovely to see so many happy people here tonight? Well, of course, you all love music,
and crowded places. You all love people and such. And I love singing and smiling faces. Love to stay awake far too much. In fact, I don't care if I never go to bed, never go to bed, never go to bed. Oh, I don't care if I never go to bed, 'cause I'm having such a darn good time. Wow! I don't care if I never hit the hay, never hit the hay. Such language. No, I don't care if I never hit the hay, 'cause the night is such a fine night. It must be somebody's birthday or anniversary, and that's a very good reason you should sing this song with me. Oh, I don't care if I never go to bed.
Oh, that's lovely.
I never go to bed.
Wonderful.
I never go to bed. I don't care if I never go to bed, 'cause I'm having a dark good time. I don't care if I never go to bed, never go to bed, never go to bed.
Oh, I don't care.
What will your mama say to that? Go to bed, 'cause we're having such a darn good time.
thank you, everybody. Now, here's the orchestra with a number that comes from south of the border. Now, senors and senoritas, the dance floor is yours. Oh, here you are, Tony. Now, where was I?
Oh, you were just going to tell me about a necklace that cost two men their lives. And, of course, someplace in the story, there was a beautiful woman.
Oh, yes. Well, Tony, this happened some time ago.
Oh?
It all began in my hotel suite. I'd just gotten home from the supper club where I was performing. I'd hardly taken off my hat and coat when someone knocked at my door. As I went to open it, I wondered who could be calling at me at 4 a.m.
Oh, Carl, Carl, I'm so glad you're here.
Kitty, what? Why, this is a surprise, and a most welcome one. Here, here. Why, Kitty, you're crying. What's wrong?
Oh, Carl, I've been a fool, such a fool.
Come, now, it can't be as bad as all that. Sit here and tell me all about it.
All right. Carl, for the past 2 months, I've been employed as a social secretary by Mrs. Richard Wentworth.
Mrs. Wentworth? Mm. Oh, I know that old battle axe.
Well, tonight I went to a party and, oh, Carl, I was wearing a necklace that wasn't mine.
You mean it was Mrs. Wentworth?
Yes. Yes, Carl, I borrowed it without her knowing and I was robbed of the necklace. It's worth $30,000.
$30,000? Boy, oh boy. How did it all happen?
Well, after the party broke up, friends of mine drove me to Mrs. Wentworth's estate. I'm living with her, you know.
I see.
I said goodnight to my friends, and they drove off. Mm-hmm. As I was looking in my purse for the key to the front door, two men suddenly appeared from nowhere. One had a gun.
Oh, and they took the necklace away from you.
Yes. One of them was tall, rather good-looking, about 35 or so.
And the other man was short. Husky fellow, about 40 or so, correct?
Correct. How did you know?
Kitty, don't you read the papers? Those two men have stolen $250,000 worth of jewelry in the past 4 months. They followed people wearing jewels and robbed them. But why haven't you gone to the police, Kitty?
But, Carl, think of what would happen then. You know Mrs. Wentworth. She'd say I'd stolen a necklace and she'd put me in prison.
Yes, you're probably right.
So that's why I've come to you, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
If you could get the necklace back before she discovers it's gone, I'd be safe.
But, Kitty, if the police can't find those two men, how do you expect me to find them?
Carl, I have a clue.
You have a clue?
Yes. As the tall man pulled out his handkerchief to wrap the necklace in it,
yes,
this fell out of his pocket.
Why, it's a timetable.
Yes, and look here, Carl. Mm-hmm. There's a circle drawn around the Albany Flyer, leaving Grand Central at 4 a.m.
And 6:20 is in circles.
Right.
That's the time the flyer arrives at Albany. What time is it now, Kitty?
4:10. Oh, Carl, the train has already left.
Don't worry, Kitty. We'll see if we can't get that necklace back without anyone being the wiser. I'll get my car, We are going to Albany.
Now, look. Look, Larry, just tell me one thing. Why are we taking this rattler to Albany?
Because the boss told me to.
Oh, the boss told you to. Listen, who is the boss? That's what I want to know. For 5 months I've been working with you, and I still ain't never met the boss.
So what?
Look, I got a right to know who the boss is. You've turned over to him $250,000 worth of ice. Part of that ice is mine.
Shut up, you fool. Want everyone on the train to hear you?
Okay, okay. But I'm not helping you pull another job until I know who the boss is. We're going to have a showdown.
All right, Mike. That's the way you want it. When we get to Albany, we'll have a showdown.
Carl, why are you tearing that page out of the telephone directory?
Because all the Albany hotels are listed here.
Oh.
Kitty, I want you to stay in this hotel room until I get back.
All right, Carl.
You mustn't worry if I'm gone for a few hours. It may take time to find them.
Carl?
Yes?
You will be careful, won't you? I couldn't bear to have anything happen to you.
Well, when you look at me like that, Kitty, I find it very difficult to leave.
Hurry back, Carl.
Hurry back. You bet I will, Kitty. We'll get that necklace back in a hurry. Then the two of us will pick up right where we left off.
Look, Larry, how much longer are we going to be cooped up in this crummy hotel room?
Relax. We won't be here much longer.
That's what you've been saying all day. Just what are we doing in Albany? That's what I want to know.
You'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. When? Look, I want to meet the boss and get my share of the hawk we've been making.
It's almost 6 o'clock. What about going out for the evening papers and some sandwiches?
First, I want to know what you...
Maybe when you come back, I'll have some of the answers to the questions you've been asking.
You expecting a phone call?
I'll take a ham on rye and some coffee, and don't forget the evening papers.
Okay, okay. I'll be back soon.
Ooh. Hello. It's good to hear from you, boss. Be careful. Don't mention any names on the phone. Yes. You've been asking quite a few questions. He wants to meet you. Don't worry, I will. There's a train leaving for New York in 20 minutes. I'll be on it. Yeah. I'll be waiting for you at the apartment. Right. Just leave everything to me.
A room 721, please.
Thank you. Hello?
Hello, Kitty. It's Carl.
Oh, Carl, I thought you'd never call.
Well, I told you it might take time to find him. But I found him, Kitty.
You have? Oh, Carl, that's wonderful. Where are you?
I'm calling from the lobby of the Empire Hotel.
Have you seen him, Carl?
I've seen just one of them. The short, husky fellow. A few minutes ago, he went up to their rooms with some newspapers and sandwiches.
What are you going to do?
Kitty, get over here as fast as you can.
Yes.
We'll go up to their room together. If they don't return their necklace, I'll call the police.
Oh, Carl, do you think that'll make them give it back?
Well, if it doesn't, there are other ways to persuade them. Now hurry. I'll be waiting for you in the lobby.
Here are the sandwiches and the evening papers, Larry.
Put them on the table, Mike.
Okay. What did the boss have to say when he phoned?
Oh. So you know I got a call, huh? What were you doing, listening from the hall?
What if I was? I got a right to know what's going on.
Oh, of course you do, Mike, of course. What do you want to know?
Well, first of all, what are we doing in Albany?
The boss and me figured it'd be better if we had the showdown out of town.
Yeah, but where's the boss? When do I get to meet him?
I'm afraid never, Mike. You already know too much.
What do you mean by that? Larry, what are you doing with that knife?
You wanted a showdown, Mike, and now you're going to get it.
No, no, Larry. You know I didn't mean anything.
The boss and me have got enough, and we're quitting. But we can't afford to leave you around, Mike.
Don't talk that way, Larry. You know I never... No, don't. Don't, Mike.
You knife. So long, Mike.
It's funny. They don't answer.
Perhaps they've left the hotel.
Well, they couldn't have passed through the lobby without my seeing them.
Well, maybe there's a back way out.
Yes, that's quite possible.
Carl, what are you doing with those keys?
One of these keys, Kitty, will open just about any door. Here we are. Now, let's see. There.
Carl, look.
No, no, Kitty.
Oh, Carl.
You must get a hold of yourself.
But he's one of the men who robbed me, the short, husky one.
Yes, he's been stabbed in the chest.
Carl, is he dead?
No. I can still feel his heart beating. Oh, what a miracle that he's still alive.
Oh.
He's coming too. Wait.
Who are you?
My name is Buisson.
It was Larry Morgan.
Yes?
He knifed me so that him and the boss wouldn't have to share with me.
The boss and who is the boss?
I don't know. He planned all the jobs. He gave Larry the orders.
And where is Larry Morgan now?
I heard him tell the boss over the phone that...
Yes.
He was taking the next train back to New York. He'd meet the boss at the apartment.
But what apartment? Tell me.
I don't know. He just said...
Yes.
Apartment.
Carl, is he?
Yes, Kitty. He's dead. Well, there we were, Tony, in a hotel room in Albany with a dead man on our hands. And Larry Morgan and the necklace gone.
Well, what happened then, Carl? What did you do?
You're on next, Mr. Buisson.
Oh, thank you. The rest of the story will have to wait, Tony. The customers want a song, and the customers are always right.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Now, we have with us tonight a lovely young couple over there at that table. So, they've just been engaged. May I wish them good luck? By singing perhaps a slightly different version of The Bells of St. Mary's. At the porch of St. Mary's, I'll wait there for you in your soft wedding dress and its ribbons of blue. In the church of St. Mary's, sweet voices shall sing for you and me, dearest, the wedding bells ring. The bells of St. Mary's, I hear they are calling the young loves, the true loves to come from the sea. And so, my beloved, when red leaves are falling, the love bells shall ring out for you. Thank you. And now the floor is yours. So on with the dance. Maestro, let there be beautiful music. Now, where was it I left off, Tony?
You and Kitty were in a hotel room in Albany with a corpse.
Oh, yes, that's right. There we were with a corpse. And Larry Morgan and the necklace gone. For a little while, Kitty and I just looked at each other. Too stunned to say anything. Then tears began to roll down Kitty's face. And in another moment, she was in my arms.
Oh, Carl, how will we ever get the necklace back now?
Kitty, before this poor fella died, he told us that Larry Morgan was going back to New York to meet the boss. Morgan left only a little while ago, so he must be taking the 6:18 train to New York, correct?
Yes, Carl, but it's already 6:25. That means he's gotten away from us.
Oh, perhaps not, Kitty.
What do you mean?
Well, you see, the 6:18 train is a slow one. I think that with some fast driving, I can beat that train to New York.
Oh, Carl, do you really think so?
Yes, we may have lost Mary Morgan for a moment, but we are going to pick him up again. The car is downstairs. Come on, my dear. We haven't a moment to lose. Well, here we are, Kitty. Track 14. And people are starting to get off now.
Oh, here they come, Carl.
Yes. Now, Kitty, stand behind me. We won't have our friend Larry Morgan to see you.
All right, Carl.
You see him yet?
No. Carl, there he is.
You mean that big fellow with the raincoat over his arm?
Yes, that's him.
Good. Now we're going to let Mr. Morgan lead us to his rendezvous with his boss. Come along, Kitty. Morgan's car is stopping. I better pull over on the curb before he sees us.
Carl, he's getting out of the cab and going up the steps of that brownstone house.
He is, and now he's unlocking the front door. Now, Kitty, I want you to stay in the car until I get back.
Oh, but Carl, I want to go with you. After all, I got you.
Sorry, Kitty. There may be trouble. I want you to stay right here.
All right, if you say so. Carl, have you got a gun?
Yes, I've got a gun. Now, wait here, Kitty, while I introduce myself to Larry Morgan.
Is that you, Doc?
Good evening, Mr. Morgan.
Who the devil are you? How'd you get in here?
My name is Boisson, Carl Boisson. And I got in with this skeleton key. It's very handy sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, maybe I ought to teach you not to break.
Easy there, Mr. Morgan, easy. I've got you covered. That's better.
Say, how do you know my name?
Oh, that's just one of the things I know about you. I know that last night you stole a necklace worth $30,000. And I also know that a few hours ago you stabbed a man to death in an Albany hotel room.
How'd you find that out?
And I also know that you're waiting here for your boss.
You're very clever, aren't you, Breeze?
Thank you.
You know a lot more than you should.
That's all a matter of opinion.
Do you think you're going to turn the boss and me over to the cops, huh?
I don't think so. I know it.
You know, Brisson, I knocked one guy off tonight because he knew too much. Another guy knocked off won't make much difference.
Oh, but it will, especially if that guy is me. Just stand where you are, Morgan.
Why, so that you can turn the boss and me over to the cops?
Stand.
I'm going to get you, Brisson.
Stand still or I'll shoot.
And you'd better shoot fast because I'm coming for you. Hey, why are you putting the gun in your pocket?
Oh, just because I intend to take you alive, not dead.
There's only one guy walking out of this house, Brisson. And that's going to be me.
Is that so?
Try this for size.
Sorry, brother, but it doesn't fit.
Well, try it. Maybe this will fix you so you...
Drop that poker.
I'll drop it after I've split your head with it.
Drop it. I'll break your arm.
I'll see you if you...
Kitty.
Carl.
Kitty. Why, you've stabbed him. Why, he's dead.
Carl, I was afraid he'd kill you.
What on earth are you doing here? How did you get in?
I couldn't remain in the car knowing you were in danger. I found the door open and came in to find you both struggling for that poker.
But that dagger you killed him with, where did you get it?
It was hanging on the wall. I just grabbed it. Oh, Carl.
All right, Kitty. You must get hold of yourself.
Oh, Carl, I was so afraid he'd kill you.
Well, while I was too. He sure was a tough customer. Oh, boy, oh, boy, do I wish I had a drink.
Oh, you sit there, Carl. I'll get you a drink.
All right, Kitty.
Here's some brandy. Drink it.
Thank you. Oh, Gee, that helps. Now let's see.
Carl, why are you going through his pockets?
Well, unless I'm mistaken, Morgan has the necklace in one of them. Ah, here it is.
Good. Now that we have the necklace, don't you think we ought to get out of here?
Well, I'm afraid we can't do that, Kitty. We'll have to notify the police. And then, Lieutenant, Kitty came in to find Larry Morgan and me fighting. She saw the dagger hanging on the wall, got it, and stabbed Morgan in the back.
I didn't know what I was doing, Lieutenant. All I knew was that Carl might be killed. I had to do something to save him.
I understand, miss. I don't think you have anything to worry about. You say, Mr. Brisson, that Larry Morgan came here to wait for his boss?
That's correct, Lieutenant.
Didn't Morgan give you any idea who his boss was?
No, he didn't.
Well, with that fellow dead in Albany and Morgan dead, I guess we'll never know who the boss is.
You're wrong, Lieutenant. The boss is right here in this room.
The only one here besides you is this young lady. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mean...
Yes, Lieutenant. The boss is a woman, not a man. And her name is Kitty Roberts.
Carl, you can't be serious.
Oh, but I am, Kitty. Lieutenant, Larry Morgan fell in love with Kitty and also fell in with her scheme to rob wealthy people of their jewels.
That isn't true.
In 5 months, Larry, with the help of Mike Warner, turned over to Kitty $250,000 worth of stolen jewelry. Things started to get hot, so Kitty decided to get rid of them both.
Lieutenant, I...
Be quiet. Go on, Mr. Brisson.
Kitty thought out a very clever scheme. Larry Morgan was to kill Mike Warner. Then he, in turn, was to be killed by me as I tried to get back the necklace.
Lieutenant, don't listen to him.
She waited in the hall for a gunshot that would tell her that Morgan was dead.
Mm.
When she heard Morgan fighting with me, she knew something had gone wrong. She came into this room, got the dagger, and stabbed him to death.
I see.
Pretending all the time that she's done it for my sake. Right, Kitty?
You can't prove a thing.
No, Lieutenant. Unless I misguess myself, or... Kitty has a safety deposit box in some bank. And in that box, you'll find $250,000...
Look out, Mr. Beaton!
When I recovered, Tony, I had a lump on my head, I tell you, like the size of an egg.
But, Carl, how did that happen?
Unfortunately, I had turned my back to Kitty.
Oh?
So she promptly hit me over the head with a vase.
You know, in a way, Carl, it served you right.
Oh, thank you very much. But believe me, I was glad to see the last of her.
But, Carl, whatever made you suspect that Kitty was the boss?
Two things, Tony. Her first mistake was when she said she'd found the door to Larry Morgan's apartment open. I knew that wasn't true, because I had locked the door when I entered the apartment.
Oh, then she must have had a key to the apartment. Hmm.
Exactly. And when she went to get me a drink, she gave herself away completely. Without any hesitation, she went into the next room and found some brandy. It was then I realized she had been in the apartment before.
Mm. Oh, what happened to her, Carl?
Well, you better look up in the newspapers, Tony. And if you don't find it...
Yes, Carl?
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to be embarrassed.
Oh, Carl.
All I bring a little white gardenia.
You've been listening to A Voice in the Night, starring the internationally famous entertainer Carl Brisson. Next week at the same time, over most of these mutual stations, Carl Brisson returns to entertain you with music and mystery in The Case of the Accidental Murders. This program is heard in Canada through facilities of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.